folks, what we're going to do for the next little while, am I still going here, am I? For the summer, we're going to take some time and just work our way through the book of Colossians. There is so, so much that we can pick up and that the Lord can share with us. This morning, we're just looking at verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2 in Colossians, it would be good if I put this little dude in. It should hopefully work all the better. If you're writing a letter, what way do we do it? And Colossians is a letter that Paul the Apostle wrote to the church in Colossae. You will see on the screen, by the way, there's about 6 different spellings of Colossae, with an A or not with an A, and an E, and 2 S's and 1 S, and all the rest of it. It's just kind of random. So please don't be judging me and say, Gordy, you spelled it wrong. The books all spell it differently. If you're writing a letter, what do? We write to our friend, we put in the recipient, Dear John, that's who I'm writing to, and then the author, yours sincerely, Gordy, and yours faithfully, yours sincerely, yours in Christ, whatever you put at the end, is again, if you like, almost that kind of greeting. It's the, whether it's a formal letter, not a formal letter, or whatever, how we're writing it. So the recipient, Dear John, the author, Gordy, the greeting, sincerely, faithfully. But here it starts, well, doesn't it? Actually, the author's first. Paul is the author to the church at Colossae. Grace and peace to you. And it's a formal way that in those days and in that culture, that is how they wrote. Different than our way of doing things in letters. But let's just jump in. Who is Paul writing to? And who is writing, actually? Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Well, in essence, someone who saw the risen Christ. So Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, through his Damascus Road experience, seeing Jesus, meeting Jesus, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Look at the authority that Paul says here, as he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. So he's stating from the very beginning his authority in writing to this little church in Colossae. And then he also adds in his apprentice in that, and Timothy, our brother. As Paul travels, folks, as you read through the New Testament, almost Paul is never on his own. Paul and Timothy, Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas. He is always with. And if you look at the end of the letters, there's a list of people that he serves with. This is not the Lone Ranger, me, myself, alone. This is working in community and serving in community. So part of the who in the letter to the Colossians is that it's Paul and Timothy. He is an apostle of God. He has God's authority on him. And he works in community. He has apprentice with him. To God's holy people in Colossae, see with an A this time, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's just stop there for a moment. Because who are the church that he is writing to? Verse 2, the holy and faithful brothers in Christ. The newer version of the NIV puts it like this. To God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Again on the screen there. But let's unpack that. It speaks of purity. It's not just to God's people in Colossae. It's God's holy people who are faithful in their love of Jesus. It's a little town. It's almost insignificant. We'll come to that in a little while. But look at the privilege that's here. God's holy people in Christ. Folks, we take this for granted every day about being in Christ. The God of heaven living in me, who bought this nation's ransomed souls. We are in Christ and the privilege of being God's holy people, of belonging to him. Steve Brady quite helpfully says, what gives me my identity isn't just where I live or where I come from. Rather, it's whose I am and to whom I belong. Let me read you that again. What gives me my identity isn't just where I live or where I come from. Rather, it's whose I am and to whom I belong. God's holy people in Christ. And then it says, in Colossae. So maybe you're asking, where? Whereabouts is it? Modern day Turkey. Back then, Asia Minor. There was three towns we'll identify with this. The Triangle. Hierapolis, Laodicea, and Colossae. All neighbours to each other in a little triangle. 6 miles apart, Hierapolis and Laodicea, with a river running between them either side of the valley, they could see each other. And 12 miles on down the valley was Colossae. Their geography was, as I say, Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. Their sociology is that this was a pagan area. This was not an area known to the Jewish faith or whatever. This was fresh evangelism as Paul and Timothy had gone out, and word had gone from where they were ministering and the gospel had been carried to Colossae. They had never been there themselves, but it's a Gentile pagan, a Gentile and a pagan area. It had once been really prosperous. And Hierapolis and Laodicea were still flying. But Colossae had just gone on its uppers. And maybe I've written down for myself, and just see a wee hand wave here, Monsanto. Mean anything to anybody? Yeah, big factory, used to be in Coleraine. If you're in Antrim, it was British Ankelon. If you were in Derry, it was the Fruit of the Loom out by Buncrana. And the factory brought such wealth and jobs and prosperity, and then it just bottomed out and it was moved to Asia. This had happened in Colossae. Steve Brady, in his little book, just simply says, Colossae was a fairly insignificant place at the time. Okay, there's names I could use here now, but I'll not. Villages you think of that become the butt end of our jokes. In fact, William Barclay, in his little commentary, says Colossae was the most unimportant town to which Paul ever wrote a letter. Isn't that powerful? Imagine that as your transcript. Unimportant, insignificant. And yet Paul is writing to them to encourage them in their faith. Why? Because he's writing to the holy and faithful in Christ in Colossae. Folks, it's not about their social status or their commercial importance. It's about their spiritual identity. In God's economy, these people were really important. Actually, as we go through the book, there was a heresy, an untruth that was coming into the area, and the Colossians were ones that were holding to the truth, and Paul was encouraging to hold to the truth in who Jesus is. Again, what gives me my identity isn't where I live or where I come from. Rather, it is whose I am and to whom I belong. Now, we could spend half an hour here. We're not. Don't panic. But in today's society, not just for our younger people, because we're all the same, your self-worth and the value you feel about yourself, I am not slim enough. I am not pretty enough. I am not smart enough. I am not sporty enough. I am not, I am not. And we live in a world that is airbrushed, and everybody puts on their social media their best face forward, and then they go and sit in their kitchen and miserable. But let's put the big picture up. This is the world that we have now created, and that we feel that we're not worth anything. A fairly insignificant place at the time. The most unimportant town to which Paul ever wrote a letter. Paul wrote a letter, and they are valuable and they are important people. What does Paul write to them? He writes, grace and peace to you from God our Father. Why does he encourage them with grace and peace? Why those words? Why? I want to pray this for you, that you will know God's grace. His mercy is more, stronger than darkness and new every morn. Our sins are many, but his mercy, his grace is more. What Paul most longs for, says N.T. Wright, is that God's grace and peace should reach out and enfold the new Christians in the small inland town. Let's say in the small insignificant town. Let's say in the small unimportant town. But they would know that they're enfolded in God's grace and goodness. And they are valuable in his sight. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. Maybe you need to hear that this morning. Maybe you need to hear that tender touch of God's grace. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard and understood it, understood God's grace in all its truth. Get that? God's grace in all its truth. This little insignificant town that's died in its commerce is given value through the grace of God. What is grace? It's God's undeserved favor. We do not deserve this, but God gives us freely through his love and his care for us. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. Peace being more than the absence of war. Again, the word here, shalom, this holistic peace, that we know God's peace resting in us to the very bottom of our being. Colossians 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Folks, maybe this morning in church, do you need the peace of Christ ruling in your heart through challenges, whatever experiences within family, health scares, family concerns, whatever it might be, that I need God's peace reigning in me with all my fears and all my feelings, to know God's grace, to know God's peace. I love John 14 and 27. Often read it at a funeral time. Peace I leave with you, says Jesus. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives, so do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. I love that. I don't give to you as the world gives. How does the world see peace? Well, you need a bit more money in your pocket, buy your nicer car, your better home, whatever it might be, your nicer clothes, go on some shopping therapy, and you'll feel better. That's not peace. It maybe gives you a wee buzz, but the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts because we know him as Savior. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Philip Arthur writes, Paul is giving expression to a deeply held wish that his friends might increasingly enjoy, I love this, a flourishing state of soul. Grace and peace to you, that our souls may flourish. Folks, as we start in our journey in the book of Colossians, may this be our prayer, that we would flourish in our soul as we read all that Paul encouraged the church with in Colossae. In Christ, that privilege. In Colossae, that position. Can I ask you this morning, what or where is your Colossae? Because if you're in Christ, well, then he gives you that grace and peace with you. You know the little phrase, bloom where you're planted. Yeah. That whatever your circumstance and situation, needing God's grace and peace, that you would bloom where you're planted. Where your workplace is, your neighborhood, your family, your friendship circle, be it the golf club or the yacht club or whatever it might be, that you would make an impact for the Lord there. Maybe the band would like to come up and join us. Really, as response to this, we're going to sing together, Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me. What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? And he is the one. Well, there's so much more that heaven gives that we may bloom where we're planted. Folks, let's use this as a response to what the Lord may have said to us. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, Timothy, our brother, for the faithful in Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father.